Hi everyone, how you doing? Welcome to Hello Esports, a podcast by Orange, Lutzeboya Journal and the Luxembourg Esports Federation about all things esports in Luxembourg. My name is Maxim and I'm your host. On our last episode, we dribbled ourselves into the iconic football simulation FIFA and its Luxembourg scene, which is pushing as hard as it can to compete with the best players in the world. To reach those heights in esports, however, money is often key. Playing in your room or a few steps away from home is free, but traveling to the biggest offline events on the planet has a non-negligible cost. So to finance their activity, esports clubs, which have no arena to sell tickets, hot dogs or beers, rely on sponsors, their only fixed income. And that perhaps even too much, to the point of creating a real dependency on them. Esports sponsorships will be the topic of this episode.
Hello everyone, my name is René Treur and I will be your expert for this podcast. So what are esports sponsorships? Esports organizations depend heavily on sponsorships, as the only other income they get is from merchandising sales. There is no ticket sales for their matches, as those are largely played online or at a venue that doesn't belong to the organization. Likewise, there is no income from selling food and beverages. Sponsors or partners for gaming organizations could chip in on any number of things: jerseys, hardware, tournament entry fees, a server to practice on. Sponsors could also take care of the salaries of the players, coaches and managers, or part of it. The main thing a sponsor gets back is exposure. Esports mainly is a marketing tool to reach and connect to a younger audience. Besides sponsors for esports organizations, there are also brands or companies that will partner up with certain events. Their name will not be on the team jerseys and website, but will be featured heavily on posters and banners at the venue, or even displayed on huge LED panels at the stage. They will most likely also be featured in media outings for the event, such as social media posts, event announcements, after movie, and during the live coverage of the competition and its finals.
So more than in any other sport, sponsors play a pivotal role in gaming. And that is exactly why esports in the Benelux have a hard time growing. It seems that, whether it is in the Netherlands, in Belgium or here in Luxembourg, brands don't believe in the power and potential of esports. At least, this is what our guest Philip Langerhoek's history tells as his club, Lowland Lions, announced its liquidation only weeks ago.
I'm Philip Langerhoek, I'm 37 years old, I'm a Belgian living close to Ghent, and I used to be the owner and manager of Lowland Lions, which was one of the major esports teams in the Benelux.
So why aren't our brands interested in esports? Are they right or are they missing out on a big opportunity? And what does the future of esports in the Benelux even look like? My head was full of questions, but first, I wanted to get to know Philip a little bit better. What is the first ever video game you bought?
As I'm already 37 years old, I've been around in gaming and esports quite some time. And I think maybe my first game is probably, the game that I bought is probably Half-Life. Counter-Strike is the game that I grew up with in esports, and probably Half-Life is the first game that I bought as well. So really the first Half-Life. That's what I grew up with and what I got the passion for first-person shooters from.
Okay, cool. You said it, like it's a passion for you and you have built a club at some point. Mm. How big is your passion and when did you decide I want esports to be more than just a passion?
Well, as I think with most esports or people involved in esports, you first start gaming. And when you start gaming, sometimes you get into the more competitive scene of the games that you play. And obviously you want to become the very best in what you do, or at least that's what I try to be. But in Counter-Strike, for example, I think I had a decent level, but I was never able to get really to the top in Belgium. So at that time, I sort of switched being a player and becoming more of a yeah, management type of guy. I start organizing things like LAN parties and a new site and helping players to get more structured in a way, and that eventually evolved into managing a team, which was to me close to the things that I like most in esports, which is the competition and being part of the competition.
Passion and ambition are the beginning of every success story in esports and elsewhere. And writing history is exactly what Philip wanted to do by creating his own esports club called Lowland Lions. I asked him to tell me all about it, from the club's first game to the last.
Well, Lowland Lions, as I said, we created it back in 2007. And the idea that back then was to become the first team where all players and staff would be able to do esports full time. And be actually rewarded to get a salary doing that. But after 15 years, that is still the goal. So that was basically the idea, and also becoming the number one in terms of esports back then even. So I mean, but the main long-term goal was to be really sort of becoming the first professional esports team in the Benelux.
Okay, and what games did you compete in? You talked about Counter-Strike. Was it only that or more than that?
Yeah, over those 15 years there were plenty of games. I think we did different sports games, fighting games, shooters like Call of Duty, Counter-Strike, League of Legends, strategy games. I think we basically did all the major esports titles during those 15 years. So there have been a lot.
Yeah, so as you said, 15 years is a lot. Can you maybe tell us a bit about the story of the club? Like, of course, in 15 years, you probably have like best moments you will never forget, big memories. I know that at some point in your history, you even were like the esports club that was linked to KA Gent. So,
yeah.
So a first division football team in Belgium. Was that the plan as well? Or how did all of that happen?
In my sort of history, there's two parts really. There's the part before 2012. There was actually involved with what Lowland Lions was doing, and in 2012 I decided to sort of quit esports in general. The guy that I started Lowland Lions with continued, but eventually stopped at 2017 as well. With sponsors and esports really lacking sponsors in the Benelux, he decided to stop in 2017. And at that time, I decided to really re-enter esports, and because everything internationally was esports was booming. Mm-hmm. The Benelux really everything was going down.
Aww.
So that's something that I really couldn't understand, and there I sort of picked it up. Back up, I didn't pick up Lowland Lions again. I started with the Viuskas, which eventually became Lowland Lions again. And in 2021, I was sort of at a crossroads, meaning that I felt that was, and still is, it's really hard for an esports team to set sort of a mark or really be relevant within the sponsorship world. A lot of I think marketing agencies and marketing responsible know that there is something like gaming and esports, and also within the Benelux, but they're not really sure on how to approach the matter, or maybe they don't have that much knowledge on what gaming and esports is, and which is something that I cannot solve on my own, but by combining forces with sort of traditional sports team like Gent, I felt that maybe it was easier to get sort of an entry with a more classic potential sponsors, and not the really sort of endemic esports parties that everybody knows. So that was basically the idea, to get a collaboration with Lowland Lions and Gent going. Which lasted until September this year, after which I decided to really stop Lowland Lions as a whole. I'm saying goodbye. I think, until last month, we were the longest standing esports team.
Until September 2022, Lowland Lions was the longest standing club in the Benelux, which undeniably makes it a piece of European esports history. Yet, they couldn't avoid liquidation, and that, you guessed it, because of a lack of sponsors. So I asked Philip just how important sponsorships are to esports.
Very important. If you just compare, I made a presentation for Vlaardingen Business School and I presented it last week. We're sort of comparing what the esports team revenue is compared to soccer clubs and compared to esports internationally. And if you just compare soccer clubs, they sort of have a mix of getting sponsorships and revenues, TV rights, broadcasting rights, merchandising, and gate receipts, meaning everything that's in the stadium. That's the sort of ideal mix. And internationally, in esports, you have about 70% sponsorships, then probably 20% sort of fees you get from the publisher because of your team participating in, for example, the LEC or whatever franchise league. And then you get some income because of stickers, for example, if you're a Counter-Strike team. So that's sort of the revenue that you have. And if you're a team with a decent fan base, you probably get some merchandise as well. So that's a good mix, but still you're very dependent on sponsorships then. That's about 70%, I think. Yeah. And in the Benelux, it's worse. I think 90% plus of all the things that we do in Benelux Esports for teams is based on sponsoring. Media rights or a revenue share in the competitions that you play is basically non-existent. And all the winnings that you get are basically for the players and are extremely low. So whatever share you get from the prize money is non-existing. So, yeah. And which is also something that is also a problem that is very hard to get long-term sponsorship deals, because obviously it's hard to contact potential sponsors and sort of convince them that esports and gaming is a thing. But getting them to sign long-term sponsorship deals is another thing. So it's really hard to plan ahead in esports in the Benelux because you're not sure of what your budget is next year.
Yeah. But I think what you said, the most important thing in my opinion is like a company to be able to think long-term has to think about fixed revenues. And here you don't have any. If you don't have any sponsors, you don't have any fixed revenues because prize pools and everything, they depend on performance and you can't be sure about performance.
Yeah, exactly. And most of those winnings are basically distributed on the top one gets a share of the prize pool and then top number two, number three get some, and then the lower teams don't get anything. So even if you win everything, you maybe get a share of the prize pool, still the prize pool is so small that basically it's not really, won't give any impact on the budget that you're setting as a team. And which is something that we faced as Lowland Lions as well. And is one of the reasons why I didn't want to continue as a team, because it's every year you're sort of struggling to get a budget going, and I mean you cannot sort of sign players for longer term than a year, for example, which means that you cannot sort of transfer them and get a transfer fee, or sort of grow them as a better player. It's basically impossible, which is also, I mean, is also something you cannot turn into a profit in, the transfers, for example. So it's a bit, yeah, it makes it hard as an esports team to survive, really.
Yeah. So you talked about conversations you had with brands trying to explain them what esports can bring. What exactly does it look like when you're on like on the hunt for sponsors as an esports club?
It depends a bit on the history and the knowledge of the company that you're talking with. When the company knows about gaming and esports, you can get more into detail on what you're doing, what your sort of exposure is within esports, who you are, what stories are you can write with the partner, which is an easier talk than when you're talking with partners who basically don't know what gaming and esports is, but they know they have to do something within that scene. When you're talking with a partner that's not really familiar with gaming and esports, then the tendency of the talk that you're having is more going into the likes of, we have to do something with esports, but we want it to be tangible. And most of the times they want you to sort of organize things like events or competitions or having a stand at a fair like Gameforce, for example, which is not really the esports business that you're in. You're really sort of activating your sponsorship by being sort of a gimmick, a gaming gimmick, and not really the esports team. So,
they use like an esports club, like a simple way of doing advertising. While if you go into football, it's more like an experience and an understanding of what the club is doing and trying to do.
Yeah, but that's something that that's also the reason why potential sponsors want to get into esports as well, but. The issue is that the following of most esports teams is not that big. That's an issue. And also the competitions that they're playing in are not generating the same or the same numbers that, for example, teams and our soccer teams have. We never used those figures when selling Lowland Lions to potential partners because we're not really embarrassed, but those figures really didn't mean anything compared to the figures that we were creating as an esports team. So that's another issue.
Our esports clubs struggle, but worldwide, the biggest brands have entered esports. Intel, Honda, Red Bull, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, you name it. They all spend millions in international esports sponsorships each year. So if those brands can see the potential of esports, why can't those in the Benelux?
I think there is a couple of reasons. Yes, some of the things we already discussed. I think the competitions as a whole are not of the highest level, meaning that there's not that many people actually watching those competitions because of the level being low and not being that entertaining. If you're a fan of League of Legends, you should ask the question why. Why am I not interested in the local level? And that's probably because of not that competitive teams, the competition not being interesting enough and not entertaining enough. So it's not worth my time. So the level of teams is probably too low. The competition is not entertaining enough to really retain the local fan base. Those are probably two things that that have an issue, and obviously the classic Benelux struggle is that we're Benelux is Belgium, the Netherlands, and Luxembourg. We have the Netherlands, which is sort of an island on its own, is Dutch speaking. Then we have the Flemish part, Dutch speaking, the Roon part, which is French speaking. Luxembourg is a bit of a mix, so it's all those marketing budgets are sort of spread in those countries and even divided depending on the language that they want to sort of focus on. And even in esports, when you're looking at, for example, the Walloon esports fans, most of the times they're watching everything that's happening in France and they're not really looking to what's happening in Belgium. So for partners, I get it. It's really hard to really pinpoint who's who and what is interesting to invest in. And I think that's probably the main reason why esports has not really stepped up in our region.
Yeah. Well, the problem of all you've said until now is that I feel like we have a vicious circle of problems, which is, well, esports aren't attractive enough in terms of performance to attract big sponsors, but as long as they won't get the money of big sponsors, they won't be able to form players and to become better.
True. The thing is that obviously we're a smaller region, so budgets will never be the big jackpots that the international teams and tournament organizers get. So that's one thing that we have to keep in mind. So the level that we will have as a region will always be lower than, for example, France and Germany and the Nordics. So that's a given. And then, but we never sort of, and that's an issue with teams and players. We sort of never get into the mindset of us being a smaller region, I think. For example, players sometimes think they're sort of at a top European level, and then they expect of teams to be at the same level too and get a full-time salary, although the partners that they have are not really on the same level and have their local budgets and are not really that much into esports. So there's always a bit of a, as you said, it's a sort of a vicious circle. But I think the main issue is that we sort of have to get back to our roots, being a smaller region, start the grassroots really, or really sort of reboot back at the grassroots. And start rebuilding the things that we have right now. Because I think the last couple of years, in terms of competition and teams as well, we sort of we had a very steep incline of budgets and interest, I think, of partners, but really the scene never grew. And if players get to a certain level that they sort of outgrow our region, that they go to international teams, which is completely fine, but we stick to the level that we sort of have to be, which will never be the top level in the world, and which is fine.
Philip remains optimistic for the future. In his opinion, the Benelux esports scene will reboot, level out, and rebuild itself in a more healthy way. Clubs will disappear and new ones will arrive. Eventually, he hopes esports will be bigger than it has ever been. Before leaving Philip, though, there was one last question I had to ask him. Could we see Lowland Lions back in the game in the near future?
The only reason when I would consider bringing back Lowland Lions or any other team is when I'm sure that the backing and the financials of the esports team is guaranteed for a couple of years. So whether it's that by an investment or a sponsor, I just want to be sure that I can sort of plan some years ahead and not really be worried 6 months in a year that maybe next year will be less than the year that we're currently having. So the only reason for me to come back is when there is a project with decent funding that will allow me to sort of plan ahead. So the answer is no.
So the passion is still definitely there, but the rest needs to follow.
Exactly.
Right now, esports in the Benelux don't see the shadow of a solution to their sponsorships issue. The last answer of an optimistic Philip Langerok demonstrates it perfectly. Thanks so much to him for sharing 15 years of experience in esports with us. Hopefully the next 15 will be full of good surprises for the world of competitive gaming. So make sure to press play on next episode too. See ya!